I just want to share with you something that maybe you've never heard before, and it's an interesting sort of subject. And the title of my message this morning is "Consider the Ant." Now, before you turn your button off and think, "I don't want to hear about ants," hold in there for a little while until you hear what God has to say to us this morning. So God has, I don't know if you've noticed, but God has this uncanny ability to bring together a varied mix of people. Have you noticed that? Like a licorice, all sorts, different shapes, different colours, different sizes. And quite often, there are people that come together in God's house that would never choose or come together normally. They come from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different cultures, different value systems. But what he does is he brings them all together. And what's more, he says to us, "You're my family. And I want you to get along with one another. I want you to love each other and work together." Now, the only way it's possible for this conglomeration of mixed peoples is through the supernatural power of the love of God to be able to pull that off. And he says, "I brought you all together under one banner, which is love and my salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you the tools to not only live together on the earth, but I will cause you to love one another." How the heck is God going to pull this off? Well, God gives us strategies in his word to live together, and he uses all sorts of different methods to show us examples of how to do this. Now, one of the ways that I want to share with you this morning is through King Solomon and the book of Proverbs. And this book is a book based on wisdom for everyday life. It has suggestions, it has recommendations. For example, in Proverbs 21, verse 19, young guys, have your ears especially tuned to what I'm about to read. "It is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman." Proverbs 15, verse 1 says this: "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." These two verses are about using your brain and making good life choices. Because you see, God hasn't just given us a spirit, he's given us a brain. And he's actually given us a book such as Proverbs to help us to use our brain and to make godly, wise decisions. And the thing that is really interesting about the book of Proverbs is that King Solomon uses this special thing. Maybe you've heard of this, maybe you haven't, but it's called the art of capture. And the art of capture is where you take everyday happenings, observing them, and capturing important nuggets of gold in them, life lessons. Now, the perfect example of this is what sitcoms or situation comedies do. These shows are created through the art of capture. So comedians or screenwriters will always observe their surroundings. They'll look for nuggets of gold, record them down, and use them in their stand-up comedy routine. So if you're wondering where a stand-up comedian gets his material from, it's from the art of capture. And often they'll use them in sitcom or situational comedy shows. Friends, Seinfeld. So let's have a look at the sitcom Seinfeld, for example. The sitcom Seinfeld is known as the show about nothing. Yeah? So this show is written by Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David, and with most of the storylines, they're based on things that either have happened in Larry David's own life or from observation, gold nuggets that Jerry Seinfeld has gathered as he is a stand-up comedian. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that Solomon was a stand-up comedian. But he certainly was able to glean those gold nuggets that give us a book full of wisdom to live by. So the book of Proverbs is such an important book of the Bible because it gives us guidance, it gives us insight, and it gives us things to consider on a daily basis. And so this morning, we are going to consider what this book says in chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. And it says this: "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." The ant. Why the heck must we consider this tiny little insect, often very annoying for humans? Why consider the ant? Well, because there are some really major key strategies that we can learn from the ant that will help us to work effectively as a community, as a family, and as servants of God. And I'm going to show you what we need to consider and what we can learn from the ant. But just as a little side note, I also would want to encourage you to have a look at Luke 19, 12 to 26. This is the story of the three servants who were given money to invest while the master was away. And he said to them, "Occupy till I come." I'm going to say it again. "Occupy till I come." Now, in this story, two of the servants invested wisely and grew profits from their investments. But one of the servants did not invest, but he just hid the money away, choosing to focus on something else other than what the master had required. And just like I talked about a few weeks ago, for those who remember, we can get so easily distracted from what really counts. And this is what happened in this story. And the things that really count for followers of Jesus are loving God, loving people, building his church, and sharing the good news with as many people as we can. So I ask the question to me and to you this morning, how are we doing with this? Now, we're in this time with the virus going around, and are we occupying until Jesus comes, or are we getting distracted with things that are not the main thing? Are we staying busy for busyness' sake, or are we actually effectively working? Yes, are we being wise and using our energies on effective kingdom principled work? I asked the question this morning. So this is where the ant comes in. You're all wondering, okay, bring in the ant, Bethwyn. What is this all about the ant? Well, God uses the ant in Proverbs to give us a successful model on how to go about life effectively. Can you believe that? So let's consider the ant for a moment. Let's investigate exactly what it is about this ant that God so wonderfully created. And what we're looking at this morning is the way the ants live their everyday life, the effectiveness of how they work together to fulfill their roles and responsibilities, so much so that they're so successful that scientists call them a super organism. A super organism is the colony rather than the individual is what functions as a unit, adapts to change, and is maintained and perpetuated. So what do ants do that causes them to work as a unit so well? Well, if you're a note taker this morning, get your notes out or get your phones out, because we're going to go through some of the strategies that ants use that make them such effective workers. Number one, they rely on teamwork. Did you know that there are ant species, when needed, that can build living structures out of their own bodies? So the army ants and the fire ants in Central and South America can assemble themselves, think about this, folks, into a bridge to create better passageways for foraging expeditions. The fire ant has been known to cluster together, linking their bodies into each other to make a makeshift raft to escape from floodwater. Think about that. The tiny ant strategically linking their bodies in such a manner to make a whole raft to help them escape out of floods. Yeah? Think about how tiny they are and how many ants it would take to pull that raft off. And yet they have the teamwork required to actually be able to do this. Now, have a think about this, because right now we could say as a society that we're in a flood called the coronavirus. And in this time, more than ever before, we need to be like the ant. We need to unite together around our common purpose, which is Jesus. And we don't need to be distracted, but we need to focus on occupying until he comes and get the job done. Number two, the ant need each other and they're generational. Ants are social insects and they form these highly organized colonies, which sometimes consist of millions of individuals. Now, the ant is more social than we are as humans. That's why they're classified as eusocial. They have the highest level in organization of sociality, and one of their greatest features is their intergenerational learning. Each generation bringing their strengths to the colony. Every group is highly valued. Every group, every generation plays its part. And so there is value placed on from the youngest right through to the eldest. Number three, and I love this, they effectively communicate. A big part of ant success is their ability to communicate with each other. They have this complex form of chemical communication, and together they accomplish tasks beyond any individual insect. Can you get this? Can you get the incredible lessons, life lessons that we can learn from these tiny creatures? Number four, they stand together. Woohoo, I love that. Ants are formidable opponents and they defend their foraging area from all other animals. They can overwhelm even the largest prey by the sheer weight of numbers. And number five, they all have a role to play at any given time. There's no individual in the ant family that does one single job their whole life. They're versatile. No one does the same job for the whole of their life. Depending on what's going on and the conditions and the needs, each ant can leave one job it's doing in order to accomplish another job that's required at the time. They can child rear, they can hunt and gather, they can store food, they can defend the nest. Whatever is required, they're savvy, they're on point. Whatever is required, they're there. I'm in. Count me in. Yeah? I found this really good and simple explanation of ants, and I want to share it with you, and it kind of sums up what I'm trying to say today. It says, ants are trustworthy, thrifty, loyal and brave. They are industrious and provide tremendous benefit to their community. They are selfless in service to their colony and devotion to their family. Ants function with astounding efficiency and complexity that is simultaneously bewildering and predictable. I'm going to say that again, but instead of putting ants, I'm going to put in Real Life Church. Real Life Church are trustworthy, thrifty, loyal and brave. They are industrious and provide tremendous benefit to their community. Amen. They are selfless in service to their colony and devotion to their family. Real Life Church function with astounding efficiency and complexity that is simultaneously bewildering and predictable. And I prophesy that during this time and into the future, that is who we are and who we are becoming. So Real Life Church, we can consider the ant and we can actually be just as effective as they are. We too, with God's wisdom, can work together and be a super organism. Would you turn to the person next to you in your lounge room this morning and say, you can be a super organism. I can imagine most of you haven't said that to one another for a long time. Okay. Now, for those of you who have been around Real Life Church for a while, you've already proved, because 6 years ago, you were operating as a cohesive and strategic organism when you took a run-down, pot black building that was in complete disrepair, and together you rebuilt the whole complex into what we now use as our thriving church building. And although this happened long before my time, I have heard account after account with great enthusiasm of all these different stories that occurred in that 1 year period as you rebuilt this house, operating just like an ant colony, putting in place systems that focused on teamwork, needing each other, generations. One account that I heard of that time was that one day there was a job that needed to be done. It needed lots of strength. And so the whole youth team came in one day and pulled off a major challenge in the whole rebuild. And they brought their strength and their energy with them in order, and they all did it as a whole team. How fantastic. I wish I'd seen that. There was effective communication happening, and you were standing together as one and fulfilling all the different roles, whatever was needed. Yeah, you were there. And from all these wonderful stories that I've been told about the church building being refurbished, there's one outstanding theme that I keep hearing as I hear story after story after story. And that was that there was an all hands on deck attitude. No matter what gifts, trades, talents, everybody played their part, resulting in the restoration that was estimated by architects to cost around $500,000. But through all your hands on deck attitude and approach, you were able to achieve this magnificent goal, paying only for materials that cost less than $100,000. Amen? Wow. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Consider the ant one of God's most smallest creations compared to man, but a creation that we as Christ followers can learn so much from. And right now in this challenging season, we need to be a super organism. Amen? Like never before, not waiting to be asked to clean out a storage cupboard in the building or to fill up an urn or to help with washing up the dishes after lunch on a Sunday, but using our heart and our love for Jesus and our heart for God's house as our motivation for using our initiative. And, you know, it's not just about the church and about the building. It's so much more than that. Because we can also apply this way of thinking to our personal ministry, in our workplaces, in our families, in our homes. Ministry doesn't just happen in the church, but it happens everywhere. So what I'm talking about in real terms is this, because you're saying, okay, well, Bethwyn, this is great. You know, it was good point that you've made this morning. But what does that mean in real terms? And you know me well enough by now to know that I like to get down and practical. What does it look like to actually operate like a super organism? Well, it looks like this. It means that you can use this time of isolation to cook a meal to bless other people. In fact, it's already happening. I'll tell you why. Because on Thursday, I went to visit Thelma Ginks and next door is Desley in their Amaru units. And as I arrived, they were so eager to share with me that the lovely Lillian Cove had been at their door bringing them spaghetti bolognese for them to have that night for a meal. They were so encouraged. They were so blessed by this simple act of care and kindness. Yeah. You can do that. You may feel like, oh, what can I bring to the table? What can I do? But you know, God wants to use the most simple of things to bless people. You can send an encouraging text. You can send a card, a care card. You know, during this season, Rochelle and I have been sending out care cards. We've got so many positive thanks and appreciation for the cards that have been received. Such a little thing, but it can mean so much. You know what else you can do? You can send people the link to our online services and share our services on your social media. Get the word out there. Real Life Church is alive and well. We are thriving and we have something here within the four walls of this building and beyond that is about positive environments. It's about warmth. It's about everybody is welcome. It's about welcome home. It's about good news. And you know, so often we're reticent. We get so familiar, so used to coming to church that we forget that we have something of great price, of great value that we can share with others. So get online, get sharing the link, get people knowing about Thrive that's on every morning. Already there's people that are tuning in to these sorts of online services that have not even come to the church at times. So can I say, get out there, get liking, get sharing. This is so important that it says that we are aware of the seasons and the times that we're living in. Amen? And all of these are simple ways that you can be effective, just like the ant. You get the job done like what Jesus was meaning when he said, occupy till I come. So Real Life Church, I put the challenge out to me and to you today. Occupy effectively until I come. Now more than ever before, there's all sorts of talk out there about what this coronavirus means as far as world events. But you know, our focus, the main thing in all of this is Jesus. And let us, like never before, be that super organism.